Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. You're going to be listening to an interview I did with Drunvalo Melchizedek. Now, we talk about a little bit of everything in here, everything from why nothing in particular happened in 2012 to ETs, our planetary conscious evolution, how UFOs have been entering into our atmosphere more and more, the men in black, the Vatican, ET races, how we've been genetically altered, you name it. We've touched on it all, even the Sumerian tablets in Nibiru, which is supposedly entering into our realm. So, hope you enjoy this interview with Drunvalo Melchizedek.
I think I'd like to start this out because a lot of people will be watching this, and if they're like me, I'm like you'd call me a reluctant skeptic. And I'd like to start this out by just saying my own experience with you.
Okay.
And I started watching your videos back in 96 or 7. Remember the old VHS tapes?
96 or so. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was the first, and I got them at the local philosophical library, and it was educational, to say the least. So I was interested at that point, and my wife and I, about 12 years ago, we did your Earth Sky workshop up in Oregon, and that was an awakening for me. That was at that really cool little place outside of Portland.
I was trying to remember. I have been so many places.
I don't
remember anymore. It's just like, it's
well,
just a blur.
I remember this, and the reason I remember it is because, okay, here's Drunvalo, really nice guy. I've been watching your videos, and you know it was all good, you know.
Yeah.
Then you started talking, and it was so difficult for me to wrap my head around what you were saying, because it was so out of my reality. But we started doing some healings, you know, where you put somebody on the floor. Mm-hmm. And get the group.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
You went over to my wife because they were having a difficult time with her. And you said, oh, I see something. And you got down on your knees beside her and you started pulling energy out of her without touching her. I seen her stomach skin raise up as you were pulling this energy out. And then you grounded it into the floor. And that was the first time I'd ever seen something like that. And it was at that point that I really started listening to you. And I remember you looked over at me because my eyes were like this big around, you know, because there's my wife and her skin coming up and everything. And you said, you looked at me with the most kind, loving, compassionate eyes. And you said, it's going to be okay. She's going to be okay. And, you know, you patted me on the back, you know, like, it's okay. So that was really the beginning of paying attention to what you were talking about.
You know, I never wanted to do that kind of work. I watched it for years, and I just didn't want to do it because it's kind of intimate, and it's you're working with energies that are usually not very nice, and it's you got to be very careful. I stopped doing it in about 1997 or 8. Somewhere around in there, and I stopped for about a year, and I could see the difference. I could record the difference, and how because I would do that to clear certain chakras in the body, and by doing that, the people were able to understand what I was going to say so much better,
right.
And so finally I saw that over a year. I saw it just didn't work, and then at the end of the year, I was in Germany with 156 people, and I decided at the last minute, you know, I'm going to do this again. I want to see what happens. And it jumped the amount of people dramatically. there was only six people in that workshop that didn't understand what I was teaching at that point. And so I've done it ever since. I don't have a choice.
Right.
In order to be a service to the people, I have to do this.
So, you know, like I was listening to one of your videos a while back in 2008, you said some of the indigenous people were telling you things that you couldn't say anything just then. Can you tell a little more about what the indigenous people on this planet is saying about the transformation that we're going through?
The indigenous people all over the world that I'm connected with and talk with, and the tribes, there's a lot of other tribes, but the main tribes are the Hopi, the Mayans, the Kogi, the Arawakos, the Wiwas, the Kangwamos, the Waitaha, the Aboriginals in Australia, and the Zulus in Africa, and there's a few others also. These people are almost all in pretty much perfect agreement what they have to say. And specifically from the Mayan culture, you know, everything we've heard about the Mayan prophecy has been the negative side of this really bad things happening. And basically what they're talking about there is the end of the male cycle, which ended on December 21st, 2012. And then on December 22nd, 2012, that was a brand new cycle. It was a female cycle. And so the old male cycle, they believe, is going to completely dissolve. They said there won't be anything left at all. It'll be gone. And so that's what we're living through right now. That's the financial systems, all of our structures, the way we built everything. And I mean, this is, you know, if that actually happens, that would be pretty dramatic in our world. And they don't really believe that at this point, the Mayan prophecy has not begun yet. Not from, I mean, it's moving through the stages, but the part where we go, yes, we are now in the Mayan prophecy, that begins with chaos. And that chaos has not happened. However, what they did tell me a long time ago back in the 90s is that they believed even then that this part of the prophecy would not begin until after February 18th and 19th of 2013. So I knew going into the 21st that nothing was going to happen. I even said it. I said, I don't think anything's going to happen here. But we are now in the point where what they said was on the 18th and 19th, they said internal changes would begin to happen inside the earth and inside the sun that would be the beginning of this process. And they said it's not something you will see. Simply, we're telling you that these changes we believe will happen. But then, at this point, everything's on computers. There's nothing that isn't. The entire physical world is based on computers. And so if those computers were to shut down, the financial system of the world would go, the entire electrical grid of the world would go, we'd be in total blackness. There would be no water, no gasoline, no food, and on and on and on and on. And NASA has announced that when this happens, that they think that these solar flares are going to just shut us down. And England came in directly after they said that, and they didn't believe it. And I followed what they did, and they went back in and they researched that information and added to that their own information. And then about 6 months later, they came back to NASA and said, okay, we agree with you. We're probably going to have a catastrophe on Earth over this.
You know, as you're saying that, it's really tempting for me to go into the polarity consciousness and ask, is this a good thing or a bad thing? But I should just ask, is this part of what's supposed to be happening?
Yes. There's a whole series of events that nobody wants to hear. They're one thing right after another. If Russia came in directly after England and said, well, okay, you guys may think that that's all that's wrong, but there are eight different catastrophes, one after another, that are about to happen. And then they said words so strong as, we doubt if a single human being will be able to survive this.
We're so integrated with all of our systems, our communication, technology, financial, global, everything is. And I think that's the thing that people don't get. I've heard people say, oh, we've been through depressions before.
Oh, yeah.
But we had, at that time, we had small farms. We didn't ship our food across the planet. We weren't globally connected with our fiat money systems.
Yeah.
This and every fiat money system that's ever been in history has collapsed.
Yeah.
The big difference now is we're on a global scale.
Yeah, the financial system is one system for the earth. If it, even major cities, if they were to stop, like if Los Angeles, I read a whole report on this, if Los Angeles were just to stop paying their bills, the banks, banking system stopped paying their bills for just 30 days, the entire world system would collapse.
Yeah, it's really, really delicate.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was the first one that they talked about, but then the second one is bigger and much bigger. It might not seem like it, but it is. And that's what's going on with the magnetic field of the Earth. And the magnetic field, which is tied to what's going on in the sun and the solar cycles and the solar flares, which are also magnetic in nature, that is, and we have researched this tremendously. And I can give you some really good resources to check out on what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But the first one is with NOVA on November 2003. Read what the geophysicists of the world, seven, eight of them from universities around the world were saying. And they, at that time, said, they believe the North Pole and the South Pole magnetic poles of the Earth are going to reverse themselves. And they have really good reason. I've seen this data. They released a lot of it in there, and when you see that data, you realize that they're not kidding around. We are at a part in the cycle of the magnetic fields that is just we've never experienced anything like this on Earth.
I was talking to actually I did an issue about the chemtrails.
Yeah,
and it was about the geoengineering and everything. So that put me in touch with the scientist, and
yes,
they said a good way to look at the what's going on with the magnetic poles is right now it's shifting about 40 miles a year.
That's right.
But they said, get a magnet and hold a compass to it and slowly turn the compass and change the magnet. And you'll see the needle go like this
right
until finally it jumps. And they're thinking that we're going to keep shifting like this, and it's going to be a sudden shift of magnetic poles.
Yes, but they don't actually know. But if you look at that video I just showed, it's called Magnetic Storm.
Okay,
is the name of it, and they show that the lines come out of the South Pole, go around, and go in the North Pole. There's
right.
a debate on that. Some people feel it actually goes in the equator and does this thing, but
it's almost like a torus, right?
It is a torus, and so it goes in. It goes in at the north and out at the south. Well, what's happening is there's holes forming all over the South Pole, and the lines are going out of the South Pole, then wrapping back around and going right back in. And now what they show in 10 years ago, that there's an area about the size of Australia that is the North Pole at the South Pole. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that was 10 years ago. And at that time, They announced, they said, well, we don't know when this is going to happen, but we all kind of agree that it'll probably happen before the end of the century. And so we now say that this is going to happen within 25 years. Then in 2010, and the government shut them off. They closed down their site after 11 days, said, you can't talk about this. And then they came back onto another site, and they were shut down after 5 days on that one. And they said, okay, world, we now believe this is that this is going so fast, and it's faster than we ever dreamed, but we now believe that this could occur any minute. And so we're now in the any minute situation, and we have been since for the last 2.5 years. And so whatever this means for us, we're almost for sure going to experience this very soon.
Yeah, what this climate scientist told me too was about the methane expulsion.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
He said, if nothing else was happening, and you just considered that,
it's huge.
Serious.
I know. There's so many things. If you got them all in one, if you laid them all out on the floor, it would really truly scare almost any human being. And any one of those things going off. Yeah, is bigger than we can handle.
Well, this is a good point for me to bring up why it is, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of people too, mm-hmm. why it is that I am shifting more and more. They say only drowning sailors can see God, you know, and in a sense, I can understand that because I've always been a fix it kind of a person. You know, if we broke it, we can fix it. But yeah. I think our environment, our civilization as a whole is so complex and delicate that it's destined to collapse. And the only way I see out of this is with a conscious transformation.
That's absolutely right. And that's what the Russians said after all their research and them coming up with, I mean, if you saw the whole thing around the Russians, it doesn't leave from an old paradigm of how we think, who we think we are and what this world is. It doesn't look like there's any hope at all, but there is. There's a very powerful hope, but you have to know certain things about consciousness and life and what's going on. And when you, and that's the reason why the Mayans never told the other part of their prophecy was because they could tell the first part because we understand that. But the second part, which is incredibly positive, it's so far outside of human consciousness and our understanding of the reality that we wouldn't believe it. And that was what their problem was. It was what they kept telling me is, well, I can tell you what it is, but the world won't believe that this is true. And, because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's outstanding. And it takes they're saying that our consciousness is going to move through this last final stage into another level of consciousness that is not human. It is much, much higher than human. And from that place, we become immortal. We no longer have illness or sickness or anything again. I can't think of the word, but we've been quarantined. That's it. We've been quarantined to Earth for a long time now. And they say that quarantine is lifted, and that we can actually be anywhere in the universe anytime we want, not just anywhere. And so these kinds of statements, they were afraid to make because they said, this is just too much for the world to understand.
Does this bring in, I remember years ago, you told my wife and I that when you look up at the sky, it's a holographic projection.
Yes.
And we've always, every walk we take, we always think about that. And it's strange that something so odd that you would say so many years ago is the very thing that some of the most intelligent scientists on the planet now are saying is the best possible theory, underlying string theory, M theory, all these other, it's the only thing that makes the math make sense is that this is a holographic projection. Well, and that sort of matches the sphere that you talk about being around us and we're projecting in our own spheres.
NASA has proven this. They know that we're in a hologram, and not just a hologram, but a programmable hologram. What's out there is not out there. It's in there. It's in your heart and the stars and everything. And you can go back 6,000 years into the Upanishads and Hinduism. And there's 108 people writing about going into this tiny space in the heart. And there, they're all talking about, oh my God, the stars are here. The sun, the earth, the moon, everything is here inside of our heart. What does this mean? And this is it. We are generators of universes. And we don't know that. We're walking around in it thinking, we're walking around literally in our mind. And we don't know it. And that is what happens. That's the big aha that's about to happen. That we're about to realize who we really are and what this world universe we're in really is. And when we do, we're going to make huge changes within it and within ourselves. And we're no longer going to be eating each other.
Right.
Yeah. That was something they decided to eliminate on the day.
Yeah, the closest thing that's ever happened to me to really realize, in a Heinleinian sense, grokking what you're talking about, was I was in Brazil with my wife, and we were doing a series of ayahuasca journeys.
Yes.
And on some of those journeys, we actually met beings that came to us. And I remember one time these two beings came to me, and I said in my mind, this is all in my mind. And they looked at me and they said, everything is in your mind.
That's right.
Everything. And there was a sense of authority with what they were saying.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I could say this with real authority at this point for sure. We do not understand. We have mapped it. We mapped exactly how an image that comes out of the tiny space of the heart, which is the creation point, and how it gets into the brain and how it gets into the external fields. And we know precisely how it works. And we've done it a bunch of times to prove it, to see if it really works. And now that it's no longer a question of is this real or not, for me anyway, I know this is real. And so what it is there when we're fully conscious, and we're not, everybody on earth is really sleeping, all of our fields are collapsed, our merkabas are collapsed, our beams of light, everything is just, it's there, it's like a seed. It
Right.
isn't lost. No person is ever lost, ever. I mean, every person alive, this, I really want to say this clearly. Every person, every human being, regardless of the condition your body is in or anything else like that, your spirit has been alive before this creation took place, and you will be alive long after this creation is stopped and or dies, because everything is born and die and dies, but spirit does not, and consciousness does not.
I can't tell you how comforting that is.
Well, yeah, it was comforting to me too when I realized this. And so there's not one person on earth, I don't care how good or how bad they are or what their situation is, when we get to the other side, everything's going to be forgiven. Karma is only here, and it is there, but we will change where we won't break these karmic laws anymore.
So, Drunvalo, what do you think in this whole process of waking up and conscious transformation? Addiction right now seems to be a real problem on this planet as a whole. It's used as a manipulative tool. It keeps our con what do you think? What kind of a part is that playing in this?
Well, I'm not really clear on I mean, obviously I can, everybody can see it. And I think that what's really going on is everybody is in so much pain, emotional pain, mental pain, physical pain, that it's hard to exist here without having some form of release, some way to let go of this pain. And so, you have so many people going into heroin and all kinds of things like this because they're trying to escape. But then on the other side of the coin, because not all drugs are bad. Everything is polarized in this world, and some things are good and some things are bad. And there are drugs out there that accelerate consciousness. They don't drop it or anything like that. And these drugs are almost always psychedelics.
Yeah, I had a couple of really strong experiences with dimethyltryptamine.
Yeah, I've never had this,
Well, it's that would it's a strange one because when you do it, you're not high. You're just in an alternate reality
Yeah.
the way
Do you
you
know,
are.
science has now done their homework on DMT, and the reality that you step into is identical with everyone that steps into it.
Yep. Yeah,
It's
the
exactly.
beings, even some of the names of the beings that are there.
It's just another, it's another world, and from my point of view, there are trillions of these, not just a few more. There's trillions, trillions of them. And they look as infinite as this, as a world we're in now with the stars and planets. They seem self-contained in themselves, but really they're just a different wavelength within us. They're
Okay,
just
talking about other worlds. So, I heard you talking once about the plasma ships, plasma beings, and
Oh, yeah.
you took 99 people.
Yeah.
Now, have you had any more experiences with that, or have
I've
you?
taken 500 people there now. And honestly, it is the most fun thing I've ever done. I love these people. I love who they are. They have inspired me so much, and they have taught me things that all my other teachers didn't ever say or ever talk about. And they're open. Right now, these 500 people I trained, when I brought them down there, they told those people, now that you know how to get here, you can go back home wherever you are in the world, because my workshops are about 80% from other countries. You can go back wherever you came from and bring other people here. It's okay. We want you to. And it's completely safe. They're not ETs. They're not external to the world. They are part of Mother Earth. And they used to live on the surface of the earth, just like we did. In fact, there's a discussion I can give you right now that is one of the deepest discussions I've had with ET races before, and so frank and upfront. But what happened was, when I went down there for the first time, I had been seeing videos of them and footage of them, and I'd talked to many of my friends in Mexico that had seen them directly. And I also spent time with Carlos Diaz, who spent over, at this point, 22 years with them. And so when the first time I went down there, I took 99 people with me, like you said, and they limited the number of people that they would communicate with at one time to 100. And they asked, they told me this before. They didn't want to bring thousands of people down. They wanted to leave. and when I got down there, I didn't know what to expect. I was just following their. I was in like a tractor beam. They were pulling me down into the earth. I went 260 miles so into the earth. I was under Telluride, where they have a little city. You call it a city, but really it's a huge geode that's about a mile across. You know, geodes are usually round,
right?
Crystals inside of them. Well, the weight. The gravitational pull and everything had flattened them out, and they looked round and kind of like a flying saucer. And they were still hollow in the middle and still crystals, except the crystals were about 3 to 4 feet long, and they were pure quartz crystals. And so these guys were all following me, and I was leading them down here. And when I got within less than a mile of this thing, I could see it because the earth is filled with light. It's brilliant down in there, but this is even more brilliant. And so you could see that, you could see it in within the light field. You could see the still of this. And when we got close to them, they sent 100 people up to us, and these were in their lava bodies, I call them. They look like they're made out of lava. And they all came, and they sent, one of them came right up to each single person, came right up to us, and then in about 1 second turned into a human being, and then spoke to each one of us in our native language, whatever it was. And I found out later, they know all languages in the universe. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, they know the language intimately, and they can talk.
So are we talking about like a real place, or are we talking about a micro?
This is a real third dimensional place.
Is it microscopically also smaller though, or
no, this is about a mile across.
Mile across.
I'll tell you their story if you want to hear it. I mean,
absolutely.
This is really pertinent to the world right now. First of all, they're about 1.5 million years old. That's not that old. The dolphins are 55 million years old. Here's the story they told me. And they're telling me this directly. I mean, I'm sitting here facing them and talking to them. And they said, we're about 1.5 million years old, and we used to be on the surface of the earth just like you. And we were in a physical form. It wasn't human. It was another form. But we had a very similar consciousness and view of the reality. It was a polarity consciousness. We developed electromagnetic fields. We created a science. Real similar to yours. It didn't, everything kind of had different appearance and feel, but it was very similar. And we started killing the earth also, just like you are doing right now. And the earth was dying fast. And we were concerned because we couldn't seem to stop what we're doing. And yet, just like we can't seem to stop what we're doing, but we knew it was going to kill us. And they did too. And they said right at the moment when they were really scared, this physical spaceship came out of the sky. Metal, and round, the traditional one that we're used to. And it landed in one of their a prominent area where they were living. And these beings came out and spoke in their language, and they were only there for 30 minutes. And all they did was tell them something about the earth and the sun and about themselves, and gave them very precise instructions and left. They said they've never seen them since. But because of the dramatic way that they were given this information, they took it very, very seriously. And they began to study it and see if they could do it. And they said it took them over 100 years, a little more than 100 years, and they finally did it. And when they did, their bodies became pure light. They could literally walk through each other. And then they said they started going through so many changes because for us, we think in terms of like 100 years. Because we live about 100 years, so we build houses to last about 100 years, or we think in that period of time. And, you know, and then even the Native Americans used to think in seven generations. Okay, that's 700 years, whatever it is. But that's still not very long. From their point of view, they realized while they were in these bodies that they were now immortal, that they were never, ever going to die again. And their thought processes began to change. And they finally came to the place where saying, well, we have to think differently. We can't think in 100 years. We have to think in 100 million years because we're never going to die. And so they also decided never to leave the earth. They wanted to stay connected to it. Now, most races, when they get to this level, they leave the earth and they go in other ways. They go out into space and time and dimension and they leave it. They didn't want to do that. And so they've stayed, they've locked themselves to this place. And then they realized in the process soon after that, that the way that they became immortal and could, their bodies became pure light, was that they realized what you were talking about before, that this is a hologram. And that their not as only is the outer world and universe a hologram, but their body is a hologram, and at that point they had to they realized that it's that they came to the conclusion that the body is an image inside of them that came from within inside of them, and so then they went through this whole process. Well, why do we need this body? We don't eat anymore. We don't drink water. We don't need anything. We don't have to have fire to keep us warm. We can just think it and we're warm and we're basically 100% self-sufficient. And then it was decided through their entire race that they were going to let go of this image and take it on an image that was more comfortable. And it was just a sphere of light, a ball about a foot across of a kind of a white light. Not bright white light, but more like moonlight. And that felt better to everybody concerned. Well, they're not the first ones that's done that. That's been all these orbs that our digital cameras are picking up. We're looking at our ancestors. Many of our people have lived long ago and they're alive. If you could get inside there and look inside that little thing, you'll find a little tiny either a human being or an ET or some kind of being that has come to that same conclusion long ago. And they say, we're going to go through the same process. He says, we're telling you what your future is going to be, but I don't think it's going to happen this way. And if I have time, I'll explain why I think we're going to do this a little differently this time. And the Mayans also feel this. They say that this time is completely different than anything that they have ever seen before.
And this time is different in the whole universe.
This time where we've come to this end of the cycles and the cycles beginning new, that this is going to begin in a whole new way that no one has ever seen before.
Is this a planetary thing or a universal thing?
It's absolutely everywhere. It's no life form, not any bug or
it's like the universal mind of God, for lack of better words, is making its mind.
It is about to make a complete recall of the universe and do something different.
So it's accelerating the evolution, normal evolution.
Well, that isn't what caused it. We know what caused the acceleration of our evolution. We are evolving at this moment faster than anything that anybody has ever seen before. I mean, you know, we're 100 years ago, if you just went back into 1890 or somewhere in there, the idea of going to the moon was inconceivable.
Right.
And all these things that we're doing right now were inconceivable. We couldn't even imagine those kinds of things. And in a really short period of time, just a little more than 110, 20 years or so, we have evolved to a level where we're talking about things right now that these discussions would never have taken place 120 years ago.
Well, like Johannes Kepler's mother wrote a book about going to the moon. They put her in prison for 6 years.
Really?
Because they said that only way she could get even a thought like that would be from the devil.
Well, of course. That's the only way. I mean, we're in polarity, and that's the only way they can answer these kinds of things. But we are now sitting right now. We are ready to go. It could happen any minute. And the minds are clear on this. Every single thing has been fulfilled. The only thing we're waiting for is Mother Earth. And she is the one that will make the decision. It comes from the female, not from the male. And the female will decide when these kinds of things begin. And so we're just waiting on her.
You know what has really helped me, Drunvalo, is about 5 or 6 years ago, I started really taking a look at some heavy indoctrination that I'd been subjected to as a child, you know, religious and everything. I grew up in the South, the Bible Belt, a lot of racism. So I started consciously dismantling my belief systems using pure logic and rationality. I mean, you know, I've never seen a virgin give birth. I've never seen Muhammad come down out of the sky on a horse with wings, just using logic to dismantle that. And as I did that, I realized that they were filters. I was filtering out so much information. I ended up writing a book on it. The whole thing was a process of the less I could have a belief system filtering out my world, the more clear it started getting. And there was a point where it was a little scary because I was dependent, and I didn't realize it. I was dependent on these antiquated and even dangerous, outdated belief systems for like a backup support. And when I removed those, I had no place to fall, but it allowed me to go forward in my life and in my consciousness in a way that I could have never done that if I hadn't of dismantled those belief systems. So it gets me to a question about the Vatican. How does the Vatican play into all this? Like, now that they've put a telescope down at the South Pole, they have their one in Arizona, they have all of this interest in space right now. How do you think?
Well, that was Pope Paul, and toward the end of his term, he made a lot of observations. One of them was that the ETs are real, he says, and that even though we've had difficulty with some of them that have come in here, the grays and the reptiles and things, that he believed that there were many, many, many ETs that were positive and were good for us. And that's why he was the one that started building this observatory in Arizona. And he said a lot of things at that time, which they're not allowing really to go out that far, but they are publicly done. And that is, for example, he says, there's no hell. There's no hell and no purgatory. He says, we made that up. I'm sorry, he said.
Right. And yeah, I know he allowed Monsignor Balducci to say a lot of things, too.
Yeah. Well, it was really good. It was great for me to see that the truth was beginning to come out. But The Vatican plays a huge role in a lot of things. I mean, they're stronger than any government in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got over a billion Catholics and they have huge amounts of money and power. And it would be really good if they were to begin to play a positive role in all of this, because they know a lot. They understand a lot of the stuff we're talking about. In fact, the plasma beams, I was invited to go on one of their ships before I went down in that thing there through Carlos Diaz. Carlos Diaz was on board, first went on board their ship in 1991. And he's been on there many, many times. And when he was on board one of the ships, I don't remember when this was, I got to think it was probably in the late 90s. Yeah, late 90s. He was on board the ship, and they came, and the plasma beings on board the ship came to him on the ship and said, "We want you to go to Drumvalo Melchizedek and give him everything you have, because he has 1,800 hours of video of them up close and personal, and he's got over 200 hours of video and over 1,800 photographs of them up very close."
Has he ever made it public?
No, only little tiny bits and pieces of it. But they told him, give me everything, and I will put it out to the world. He never even heard of me. Didn't he have any idea who I was? And he had to kind of do some research to find out where he was. And then he invited me to come down to Mexico City to talk with him. Well, I was already privy about the plasma beings at that point, because I had my own people that were filming them and everything else. And so I went down there. I met him at a restaurant in Mexico City. We talked for about 3 or 4 hours, and I don't know where I was going with that.
So do you have plans to make any of these videos public?
I've tried to get him to do this, and what happened, oh, this is where it was leading into. When I was down there, let me just lead this part and come back to the Pope. When I was there, he told me stories about them and things about them. And then he says, the beings have told me to give you everything, which I'm setting up, and I'm going to give you everything. But they also told me that you can go on board one of their ships if you want to. I just closed my eyes and asked the angels, can I do this? And they said, yes, no problem. And I said, okay, yeah, what do we do? And he says, well, they'll give me an exact time and to the minute, a day and time and location. And all you have to be there is just be there, and you can bring up to 100 people with you to watch it, and you can film it all you want, and you can release the films all you want anywhere in the world. We don't care. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And so he came back a little later and told me exactly when and where and all this other stuff. Meantime, I went to Hollywood because I was friends with certain people there, like Marty Hornstein, who did the Star Trek movies, and got connection through to some of them. And I brought, that was the filming crew I was bringing down there, was the one that had been filming them. They were excited. And it seemed like the right thing to do.
Right. Absolutely.
and so then I came back here waiting for it. In the meantime, while this was 2 months in the future, I was waiting for it. The Pope, Pope Paul, asked him to come to the Vatican, that he wanted to talk to him about the plasma beams. And so he went there, and while he was there, who they were, I don't know, but they arrived in these black automobiles dressed in black with machine guns, and they went in and they kidnapped some of his family. And then told the rest of their family that if he keeps working with me, they will kill him and all of his family, and to convince him not to work with me anymore. So when he got back from the Vatican, he wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't answer any of my phone calls or anything at all. And then it took about 6 months, and he sent an individual up here, a Mexican individual up here to talk to me and explain that what had happened, that his family had been kidnapped and he was afraid to continue working with me. And so this has just been an ongoing thing. I mean, this happens.
What do you think it is, Drumbolo? Why is it that there's a certain group of people, call it the Illuminati or whatever, why is it that they have a vested interest in maintaining a static point in our evolutionary strain or consciousness?
You know, I've researched that. To answer that question really specifically, I've really tried to answer that, and I've found myself three times in the presence of members of the Illuminati. A couple times I didn't really want to, but that's what happened. And in my discussions with one of these people, basically they just don't care about us.
Right.
They don't have any emotional body. They don't care or have feelings of love or anything else like that. And they're just using us, and they have their own agenda, really a completely separate agenda than us. And they just use us. They have 85% of all the money in all the banks of the world. And it's 300 families.
Yeah, there might be something behind the biological thing too, because I heard Bruce Lipton talking once, and he was saying that it looks like, it appears like about 6% of the global population are genetically incapable of feeling compassion and empathy.
Well, they have made it. I mean, these people came from Mars, and they were part of the last attempt to create a separate reality. This one, we say it's Lucifer Rebellion, we call it. But there's been three other times before that this has happened. And the Martians were part of the last one. And that's what destroyed their planet, was their lack of love for each other. They basically had a planetary war that destroyed the outer atmosphere and all the oceans and everything. Their planet was, and I wrote about this as far back as 1998, that Mars was just like the Earth, because this is Thoth telling me this. He says it had oceans, it had water, it was plants and diversity, and it was beautiful. And they just killed that place. And they were just one of about 80,000 other planets that died because of that, because of the trying to separate out the emotional body, the female side, and just heading on with the male side. Yeah. And so they trying to escape their problem that they had there. That's when they came to the Earth, and they came in from a long time ago.
Did they come here in their Merkaba?
They came here in actually spaceships,
yeah,
based on Merkaba science, and Mars was destroyed a little less than a million years ago. And they came forward into the future and arrived on Earth, I'm guessing roughly 65, 70,000 years ago. And they've been and they did it illegally. When you do something like that, you have to get permission from galactic. There's a particular area of the galactic center that you have to have permission to do these kinds of things, because it's illegal to do that. And they came in without any permission. They arrived at the same time that the Jews arrived here, who were also not human. They were from another area, and they were coming from the future, not from the past, but not very far in the future, only about 800 years. We talked about that in the book, saying with about two sentences, just saying that the Jews came in here with permission, and what had happened is they had misunderstood one tiny little piece of spiritual information as they were developing on a different planet. And now 800 years into the future, when they were ready to expand and become everything, they couldn't do it because of this lack of understanding. And they got permission to come here and redo it all over again. And I said it was like a fifth grader doing the fifth grade again. And that's what they were doing. But and so the Martians and the Jews hate each other, because the Martians, both of those are advanced races, and the Martians could have just taken us over easily, except that the Jews stopped it because they knew what they were, they could see what they were doing, and so there's been this low grade and not so low grade war going on between those two consciousness for
that,
a long
time. That explains a whole lot, actually. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, they know this, but they won't tell you this, but they do know the situation. I mean, even the Torah the Torah was sent back with the group that came from the future back here was sent with a book, the Torah. And they didn't, where they were 800 years in the future, they didn't need the Torah. They wrote that book for them coming here, linking in the past. But they brought it in at 65 or 70,000 years ago when they linked in with us. And they were told, don't change one letter in that book because it's a computer program and you can't do that.
Right.
And which we understand now. We wouldn't even be able to understand that, you know, 30 years ago. That wouldn't even make sense. And but they did change it. They changed it dramatically and so dramatically over time that it was worthless. And so it was given back to them in, I think it was 1250 BC or whenever it was when Moses supposedly was given that, but he was also given this other book, which was supposedly from God. But from what we know, that wasn't from God. It was from them in the future. And to this date, they have not changed a letter. The book is absolutely flawless. And what it was is in that book is an Akashic record of everything from the beginning of creation until about 800 years in the future. And so they knew that in there were 19 locations that they had to make changes for themselves on this other planetary thing in the future to be able to make the change that would allow them to continue to grow. And I actually tracked through two of these. I was involved in two of these changes, and they're global, huge global changes that would affect everybody on Earth. And we're passing through these things. Some of them are invisible and some of them are visible, but we've got to be down close to the end. I mean, I don't know where we're at, but once we get to the 19th one, that's when everything takes place. And I think we're right there. We're probably down to either 18 or 19 right now.
And I've been interviewing a lot of the people on Ancient Aliens about the Anunnakis and all that. What do you think about that whole part of our history, the Anunnakis and the fact that they might be back and all this with Nibiru? Well,
they have a few people here. They were our mother. They were the ones that created our particular DNA of humankind. And the father was the Sirians from Sirius and from Sirius B, third planet out. And those two, they were the external part, like the male aspect and the Anunnaki or the Nephilim were the female part that created it. And if you look at the Sumerian records that are very old, these records, and talking about things that are even much older, millions of years going back, this is some of the greatest information that we've ever had.
Yes.
And science is not taking this seriously enough. You know, I mean, it's just amazing information that was given there. But all I can tell you is right now is that the mother aspect of it was not very evolved. They were almost exactly where we are right now. That was our mother. Our father was way, way more advanced than the mother. And the father aspect is the one that is will be the first ones to step in front of us and begin to protect us. And they're already here. They're all over this earth, and they're inside the earth, just waiting. They're sleeping in these glass chambers. And when the time is right, the father will come out here and protect us. And who they're really protecting us against is the primary thing is the reptiles. The reptiles just will not give this up. they've been trying to destroy us for a long time.
Yeah, they're real territorial, you might say.
Yeah.
Do you think with all the, I think that every time a planet is discovered, it has to affect our consciousness. Do you think that all these planets that are being discovered as they enter into our realm of conscious reality, this is part of the change also?
Well, they first discovered the Marduk, the planet that the Nephilim came from, and that was some time ago, and now they're trying, NASA's trying to say they didn't discover it. And if you just let go of fear, if you just let throw it away, just let it go. Just believe in yourself for once and just get into it. And just be like a little child, just innocent, and just watch what's going on. You're going to be amazed at life, at how perfect life is. It's flawless. It doesn't look like it because we're functioning from the Fibonacci sequence, but life is really flawless. It's amazing, really.
Well, I think that's a good place to end our interview, Drumbala.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and thank your audience for watching this. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you. Okay. Bye.